Praise the Lord. God is good. He's going to bless this word to our understanding. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for the word of God. And we are trusting in you, Lord, that you will bless this message to our hearts. Encourage us, Father. Help us to really, really believe that Jesus Christ is alive. He literally died, and he is alive. And I'm believing you today that you will quicken all of our hearts to really trust in the Lord and believe that you are for us, you are taking care of us, you are the living Lord at the right hand of God interceding for our needs. Praise you, Father. Praise you, the Holy Son of God. Oh, hallelujah. Bless this word to our hearts. Hallelujah. All of us are aware that all four of the gospel preachers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, show the resurrection of Christ. Each one of them have a different, little bit different aspect to what they are saying. Actually, there's a study of that, and a lot of you know that Matthew showed Jesus Christ as the king. Mark showed him as the servant, the faithful servant. Luke showed him as the man, and John showed him as the Son of God. So John does not record the birth of Christ because he just immediately starts out, the Word was with God, the Word was God, showing Jesus Christ as the Son of God. If you'll turn with me to the 21st chapter of the book of John, or the 20th chapter, pardon me, the 20th chapter of the book of John, we're going to read his account of the resurrection of Christ. Praise the name of Jesus. John 20, verse 1. Praise the Lord. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Praise the Lord. Mary Magdalene had 7 demons in her, and the Lord cast those demons out. And she became a wonderful follower of Christ. Isn't that a marvelous thing to think about? And here she comes to the sepulcher to see if there was something that she could do. And other portions of scripture, that other gospels tell us that other women came with her with spices and things. They were going to anoint the body of Jesus. They probably didn't realize that Joseph of Arimathea, a very wealthy Jewish man, was the one who had already taken care of the cleansing and all the things of Jesus' body, and he was wrapped in linen. And so, but it shows her dedication very early to get up in the morning and come to see what was happening there. And it says, she comes unto the sepulcher, and she sees the stone taken away from the sepulcher. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved. And she saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher, and we know not where they have laid him. But I loved her enthusiasm to go and find out answers. And no doubt right now she's kind of doubting about what had happened to the body of Jesus, wondering if maybe somebody has just stolen his body and trying to make some kind of declaration or something later about him not literally rising from the dead. But she really is concerned. In verse 3, it says, Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and they came to the sepulcher. So they ran both together, but the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher. The other disciple is John himself that's writing the book. He's a very humble man, and he doesn't put his name in there. That's one of the characteristics of his writing. When he is doing something, he just says the other disciple. So he was one of those first ones of the two of the disciples, Peter and John. John was a young man. He was very close to Jesus and loved Jesus so much. So did Peter. So they run to see what has happened. They run to see what has happened. And the other disciple outran Peter. He was younger, wasn't he? And he came first to the sepulcher, and he stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, and yet went he not in. He saw something had taken place. He didn't know for sure what has happened. Did they take the body of Jesus and leave the linen garments and the clothing just laying here? What's going on? Then in verse 6, then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. So the Lord had raised him from the dead, we know that, and the little linen cloth over his face was folded very neatly there, showing that there was nobody else that just came in and flung off the garments and flung the white wrapping away. Praise the Lord. Verse 8, then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. Those are wonderful statements. You know what God wants from us today is for us to believe. When he saw that Jesus' body was gone, he instantly remembered, no doubt, what Jesus had told them. Jesus had told them several times he was going to be crucified and that he would raise from the dead. And when John saw that, they didn't take his body. His body has been resurrected. Jesus Christ is alive. He's alive. Praise the Lord. He was so blessed by that, wasn't he? He was a person who believed very much. And this Gospel of John is one of the deeper Gospels as far as the things of God all the way through, because he had a great revelation. He lived to be an old man. Did you know that? John was exiled on the island of Patmos. And it was a very forlorn place, a rocky old island out there off of the coast of Greece or Italy. I believe it was off the coast of Greece. But anyway, he was out there, and God gave him the book of Revelation. Isn't that something? But before that, according to history, he had been boiled in oil. How would you like that? It doesn't tell us. We don't know if he had scars all over his body. He went through so much by believing in Christ. But he was a true believer of Christ. And when he saw that cloth laying there and that napkin folded all up, he believed. He knew what had happened. He didn't doubt it at all. Praise the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? He saw it and believed. I hope all of you believe today that Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose again the third day. He is alive. He is in heaven, sitting at the right hand of God, the Father, interceding for us there. He prays for us. Did you know that? That's what it means to intercede. He prays for us. He sees the trials that we are in. He is alive. Hallelujah. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Now this is something that's kind of odd, because in Matthew 20 verse 14, in Mark 10 34, in Luke 8 33, and in Luke 24:7, it says that Jesus was telling them he would die and be crucified and would rise again. What was happening? At that time, the disciples often were not quite all together there with him, you know. He was talking, he was telling them things, and they didn't want to hear he was going to be crucified. This was the Son of God, the Messiah, the coming Messiah. They wanted a great, big kingdom set up immediately, and Jesus to be the king. And get rid of all the Romans was the main issue, wasn't it? Get rid of all of those that didn't believe. That was their thoughts and their motives in all of that. But in in thinking only in that frame of mind, they were missing out because they weren't listening. The Lord speaks to us today, too. He speaks to us in our minds and through the scripture, through the word of God. Are we listening? Or are we like the disciples, which yet did not know that Jesus is going to rise again? He had told them, and yet they did not know. That is really something to think about. Yes. Glory to God. I want us to turn to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms. Most of us here, I believe, know that the Old Testament, you know, written many, many years over the centuries, different ones completely. The latter part of the Old Testament is written by prophets who lived up until a few hundred years before Christ. In this Psalm 16, it's a psalm of David, and as we often see in David's psalms, it's a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want us to read there in verse 5, we are going to begin reading. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. Verse 7. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. The reins here speak, actually, in the original, it says kidneys. But we know we don't think with our kidneys. But what it's talking about is our brain, how we think. The reins of our mind. So David was praising the Lord for the blessing of the Lord given to him and God's counsel to him and how that he was instructed in his mind. He says, I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Now, who sat at the right hand of God? Jesus. So there is a verse that shows us that God was sitting by Jesus. Praise the Lord. God was controlling all of the things that were happening. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. Verse 9. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. This is a prophecy of the resurrection of Christ. He was sitting at the right hand of God. He came down here to live in this earth as a human being. And he died for our sins. But notice verse 10, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Now, some people teach that Jesus Christ went to the terrible place where the wicked dead were. Jesus did not go to that part of hell. Hell is a word in the Hebrew, which is Sheol. And Sheol was the place that they said and believed that God had shown them. The persons that died would go to this place called Sheol. Now, we find from other scriptures that there were two parts of Sheol. There was the lower part, which is what we think of as hell, where the unbelievers go. The unbelievers that go through their life never believing in Christ will one day be in the lower hell. But the upper place, called Upper Sheol, is the place where all the believing spirits from the Old Testament clear on until the resurrection of Christ, went up into Upper Sheol, and that's the word that's used. They'll translate it sometimes hell, but it doesn't mean hell for the wicked. Jesus Christ, the righteous Son of God, when he said, it is finished, the redemption was finished. Our salvation was finished. And the Lord then resurrected him the third day, and his spirit was in. All that time he was dead, he was in Upper Sheol. And when he ascended into heaven, it tells us in another place that he took all the spirits of the believers from the Old Testament, including Abraham and Isaac and David and all those people. He took them with their spirits up to heaven. So now when we pass away, we don't go to the heart of the earth, to upper Sheol, we go to heaven. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Jesus Christ is in heaven waiting to come back again. And all of our dear loved ones who have passed away are there in the heavens with the Lord. Those who knew Jesus as their Savior are right there with the Lord. And one of these days when he comes back, it says that the dead in Christ shall rise first. All of those dear ones that know Jesus, they are going to come. Their body will be resurrected. Their spirit, which is with the Lord, will be reunited with their body. And they will be here waiting for the people of the earth that are believers. The overcomers will rise up to meet them in the air and go away to be with the Lord. Forever to be with the Lord, Scripture says. Why can we look forward to that? Because he is risen. He rose. And he is the first fruits of those that slept. In Israel, they would take the first fruits and they would offer them to God. Literally, the first vegetables, the first crop, the first fruit, whatever. They took it to the tabernacle or the temple and waved that first fruit to the Lord, giving it to the Lord. Jesus Christ was the first to be resurrected from the dead, and we then will follow in his steps one of these days. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Hebrews, the 10th chapter. We're going to begin reading with 5, verse 5 of chapter 10. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, right here, you know that Israel was offering the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer unto the Lord for sins that they committed and for other things when they just wanted to worship the Lord. They couldn't just say, thank you, Lord, we love you, we love you. They had to go and take an animal down to be sacrificed at the tabernacle at the temple. Aren't you glad we don't do that? Thank the Lord. So in this verse 5 of chapter 10, wherefore, when he, speaking of Jesus Christ, cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared for me. A body thou hast prepared for me. This is actually a scripture in the Old Testament. We didn't read it a while ago while we were there, but in Psalm 40, verse 6 through 8 and verse 13 through 17, if you want to read it, you know that Jesus Christ came and fulfilled the scripture. Let's just go back there and look. I was going to get it while I was there, but I forgot about it. So let's go to the 40th chapter of the book of Psalms, and we're going to read there this scripture. Verse 6, Paul had it over there in Hebrews. We're going to read it where it originally came from. In Psalm 40, verse 6, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ear hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. And then verse 13, be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. And of course, that's the prophecy of Christ going through all of this. It wasn't the burnt offerings and the offerings of the temple that God was pleased with. They were in unbelief. Chief priests that were in charge were Sadducees. They didn't really believe in anything. They didn't believe in God. They didn't believe in resurrection. They didn't believe in anything. And there they were trying to appease the crowds mostly. But praise the Lord, the prophecies of the Old Testament came true. And Jesus Christ was the sacrifice that had to be offered so that we could be saved. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Turn with me now to 1 Corinthians 15. Brother Zielinski was speaking from this chapter, and I thought he was going to preach my sermon, but he got on it a little bit. But anyway, we get to repeat it because it's the scripture. 1 Corinthians. Now, the book of Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul, and of course, it's a wonderful book. He had to correct the Corinthian people because they were so far off. But anyway, in this chapter now, we're going to see him talking about, the whole chapter is about the resurrection. If you want to read it, it's through again. It's very, very edifying. Let's read with verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scripture. As we have already stated today, and as you know, Jesus Christ fulfilled the Scriptures. Isaiah 53 tells about the sufferings of Christ, how that he would be crucified and suffer so tremendously. He fulfilled all of that. But a dead Christ, what could a dead Christ do? If he was still in the grave today, what would that help us? But the third day he rose again from the grave, and we see that in verse 4. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. As we read back there in Psalm 16:10, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. God did not leave his soul in Upper Sheol. And another scripture, we find that while he was there in that place where the Old Testament believers were, in their spirit, that was their body, and their spirit was there, their body was in the grave, he preached to them about him, that he was the Messiah, and that he had come, and that they would be resurrected one of those days. Praise the Lord. Now notice, and that he was seen of Cephas. Who is Cephas? It's Peter. It's another name for Peter, the disciple. He was seen, as we read back there in John 21. Peter came with John there to that place and saw that Jesus Christ was risen from the dead. And then afterward, you remember the story, how that the 12 were gathered together in that room, and they were so downhearted and discouraged, and suddenly Jesus was in their midst. Praise the Lord. He could come through the walls. He didn't have to come and unlock the door. He came through the walls because he was in a spirit form, a new glorified body. Not just in spirit, but a new glorified body. He came right through the walls. And there he revealed himself again to the disciples. And of course, Thomas had said, unless I put my hand into his side and feel the prints in his hands, I will not believe. Thomas, we call him Doubting Thomas, because it seemed like he had a hard time believing. Do you have a hard time believing? Would the Lord say you're a doubting Thomas? Whatever your name is. We want to be believers, don't we? We want to receive what God has for us. And so there he saw all of the 12 in verse 6. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once. And when we see this on a movie that they make, I guess they can't afford to hire that many people, because usually it's just a very small group and they're seeing Jesus come up, go up to heaven, you know, maybe the disciples and a few other people. But there were 500 people there that saw him alive and resurrected and brought out and also taken up into heaven. It says some of them at Paul's day, some of them were still alive and seeing him. They were witnesses of the resurrection. After that, he was seen of James. Now, this was Jesus's brother. Jesus' brother had a hard time. He didn't really believe in him right at first. But after the resurrection, he did. And he became the pastor of the church at Jerusalem. And so, praise the Lord, he was seen of James and then of all the apostles. And at last of all, he was seen of me. When was that? Paul? Paul saw the Lord? Yes, he did. On the road to Damascus, Jesus came to him and knocked him down on the road. And he rose up and he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What wilt thou have me to do? He recognized this was Christ. Praise the Lord. He had lived right there through all of that time and knew who Jesus was. And of course, it was a revelation, wasn't it? And notice what he says in verse 9, for I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. He was humbled by that thought that I was the one that stood there and let them stone Stephen to death in chapter 6, latter part 7, chapter 7 of Acts. He was the one that had done that. So that humbled him, didn't it? But in verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. And I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was within me. Praise the Lord. And now beginning in verse 12, we have these statements. And they're important statements. And I listen to them as we read them. Verse 12 of chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Christ has been preached. Oh my. Think of it, folks. Over 2,000 years since he was here. And Christ has been preached to have risen from the dead. Over and over and over and over, he has been preached. That message has been preached. Christ is risen, and he sits at the right hand of God, interceding for us. Say, for me. He's interceding for me at the right hand of God. Whatever my need is, who is praying for me? Maybe some of the people of God are praying for us, but remember who is praying for you. Jesus at the right hand of God. Hallelujah. So he says, if Christ is preached that he rose from the dead, then why do people say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ isn't risen. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is in vain. Why do we go through all of this and teach the word of God if Christ isn't risen? He's a dead Lord. He's still dead. No, he is alive. He is powerful and able to do whatever is needed to help us to work in our lives. He is at the right hand of the Father. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Our preaching would be in vain, and your faith is also in vain. Why believe in a dead person? That's like some of the other religions. They believe in some dead person. We believe in a living Christ. Hallelujah. Verse 15, yea, and we are found to be false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up. If so be that the dead rise not, is the Lord Jesus the only one that's going to be raised? If we believe that scripture, then we have to believe the rest of the scripture. Jesus Christ rose from the grave, and he captured death, hell, and the grave, and he took the believers out of upper Sheol. They're the believers of the Old Testament. He took them up above to heaven, and one of these days, we're going to go to heaven to be with the Lord. Praise the Lord. Don't be afraid. That's a great statement, isn't it? We're human beings. Something happens and all of a sudden we're trembling and we're upset. And we don't know where up is up. We don't know which way is up, do we? But we know that he rose. And notice in verse 16, if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. If there is no hope for us, and some people believe that we are soul sleeping in the earth and that one of these days, you know, our spirit goes to be with the Lord, but there is no resurrection. That's false. It's false teaching. So if the dead rise not, then Christ isn't raised either. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. What does that mean? Our faith is a basis of our salvation. And if we are believing in a dead Christ, he died on the cross. We could emphasize that part of it, couldn't we? But if he's not alive, what sense does it make? It doesn't make sense. He is alive. He rose from the grave. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, Christ was raised. Who was he raised by? His Father and the Holy Spirit. They raised him from the dead. Praise the Lord. Our faith is not vain. Our faith is what keeps us going. We must go by faith. We can't go by our feelings. We can't go by because we're scared or anything like that the devil tries to put on us. We are walking by faith. We believe. And we would still be in our sins if it isn't by faith, if we don't believe in the resurrection. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. One of the most lovely things that we have in our life is to know that our dear loved ones gone before are alive. Their spirit is with the Lord. Those that know Jesus, their spirit's up there. Their body is in the grave, but the spirit is with the Lord. They are enjoying and seeing things in heaven that we can't even imagine. We can't even imagine how beautiful it is. We wouldn't call them back, would we? Knowing what they're seeing, would we be selfish and say, well, I want them back, Lord. Just bring them back. No, we're not to be selfish. We know where they are. We know the enjoyment that they're having. They're not suffering at all. So notice verse 19. And if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. A person who does not believe in resurrection is miserable because there's nothing beyond this life. And a lot of people believe that. We just live here and however long, you know, that we've lived. And one of these days we die and it's nothing. We just go. It's nothing to it. You know, this word miserable in the Greek means pitiable. It's something to pity somebody when they don't believe in Christ. It's something to pity them when they don't believe there's going to be any resurrection. He is risen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How wonderful it is to know Jesus Christ. We are not men miserable, are we? Or women of miserable. I hope none of us are here today miserable. And our life and the way our life goes, I hope we're trusting in God. I hope we believe the word of God and lay hold of that. And you know what? There's that little song. When the devil makes you blue, trust the Lord. When you don't know what to do, trust the Lord. Doctors, druggists, and disease, will your body quickly seize? You can always save the fees. Trust the Lord. Brother Copley sung in our songbook. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to sing a song about the death of Jesus Christ and be thinking about what it is. Jesus said to the disciples, When I leave this place, then from then on, I want you to do this Last Supper with the communion service so that you will remember what it is that I did for you. He shed his blood. It poured out upon the ground till there was no more blood in his body. He did that for us, and that blood washed away our sins. All of our sins have been made atonement for. His body was broken. His body was just spent. He was beaten. He was crown of thorns crammed on his head, all of those things.
Amen.
And yet, he was a victorious. He was victor over death, hell, and the grave, and he rose from the grave. So today, as we take this communion, let us worship the Lord and think of what he did for us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're going to sing number 254 in the Grace and Glory. I remember, that's what Jesus asked us to do. Remember what the Savior did for us. Hallelujah.
I remember how my Savior died for me. On the rugged cross of dark Mount Calvary, I remember how he cried, how he bowed his head and died. I remember the Calvary. I remember how he paid the debt for me, how his blood was shed on dark Calvary. Oh, the blood of Calvary's brow, I can see it flowing now. I remember dark Calvary. I remember how he blessed and broke the bread. Signifies my broken body, thus he said. Broken on the cruel tree, hanging there for you and me. I remember dark Calvary. I remember how he paid the debt for me, how his blood was shed on dark Calvary. Oh, the blood of Calvary's brow, I can see it flowing now. I remember dark Calvary. I remember how he blessed the cup of wine, that which is the precious fruitage of the vine. Oh, this is my blood, he said, and for many it was shed. I remember dark Calvary. I remember how he paid the debt for me, how his blood was shed on dark Calvary. Oh, the blood of Calvary's brow, I can see it flowing now. I remember dark Calvary. I remember how he paid the debt for me, how his blood was shed on dark Calvary. Oh, the blood of Calvary's brow, I can see it flowing now. I remember.